the Holy Spirit in sanctification. The Holy Spirit in the process of growing more and more like Jesus Christ, to discover the role of God's Spirit as we seek to be conformed into the image of Christ, to look more and more like Him each day. And some of us are not sure what sanctification means. Sanctification is a wonderful theological term that essentially means to make holy.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. Hey, we say this a lot around here at Live in the Light. We're thankful that you've joined us, and we really do mean it. In fact, we really mean it today, because you've joined us in the middle of a very important, and we believe, foundational series on the Holy Spirit. We've been studying for some time now the nature of the Spirit of God, and Robbie, you said it well. You said the Holy Spirit, in many respects, is the forgotten God.
Yeah, well, Francis Chan said that. I want to make sure that he wrote a book called that, so I don't take credit for something I didn't say. But what we are realizing, and we have received, again, so much feedback throughout the teaching on the Holy Spirit, again, where we minister, is so many people said, I've never been taught on the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some have been Christians for decades and yet have never fully received teaching. So we're so excited to give this to you, and we're anticipating that you're going to be blessed. Hey, would you do us a favor, and would you even respond maybe to the calling of the Lord? I know sometimes you're probably like me, you're listening to something and you're blessed, and just don't take the time to let someone know, or don't take the time maybe to respond, even with the support of saying, I want to see this ministry continue. I want to see more people be blessed through the gospel, through the word of God, and for teachings like this. Would you consider doing something about that today? That would be such an encouragement to us here, because again, we're only on here with the support of our listeners, and we're excited, honestly, to give you teachings like this, because it's such an encouragement to the church and so needed in our day. The Holy Spirit, He is everything, and today we see Him and His role in sanctification. We cannot grow in Christ apart from His work in us. So again, thrilled to do this for you, thrilled to present this to you. May God use it powerfully, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, as Robbie said, the title of today's message is The Holy Spirit and Sanctification. In a moment, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. But as Robbie did say, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, if you'd like to see this resource and more resources be made available to you, then make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. All right, well, here again is Pastor Robbie with today's message, The Holy Spirit and Sanctification.
D.L. Moody was a great man of God and a wonderful preacher who was used mightily of God, let's say about 150, 125 years ago. And D.L. Moody was vacationing by the Syrian Sea with his wife when an old man came up to him, amazed him, and really shocked him by saying to Moody, the old man said this to Moody, he said, young man, honor the Holy Spirit, or thou shalt break down. Now, can you imagine? You're on vacation, you're working hard, you're there with your wife, you're sitting by the sea, and some older man comes up and says to you out of nowhere, you don't know him, young man, honor thy Holy Spirit, or thou shalt break down. Now, Moody, understandably, he was caught off guard, and he would later admit that when he first heard this man say this to him, who he did not know, his first reaction was anger. Who are you? How dare you? Why are you saying this to me? But then later on, he admitted, as the Holy Spirit tends to do and quickens us as we hear something, as we're confronted with truth, that Moody admitted the man was right, and he became troubled in his spirit. And then it wasn't too long after this, he testified with the following. He said, I prayed there until a night came when the third heaven found me, and since then my soul has known the mystery of Moses' burning bush, which burned with fire but was not consumed. Now, that's a beautiful reference that Moody is making to the reality of the power of God's Holy Spirit working in him in his life. The Holy Spirit of God within D.L. Moody, allowing him to spend himself and yet to continue to find strength and to be kept in the ministry and to be fruitful and empowered by the only one who could make it so, the Holy Spirit of God. What D.L. Moody was forced to admit and be humbled in that very moment was this, that he would not last and could not bear fruit and could not grow in Jesus Christ apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. I'm particularly blessed by what the older man said to him. Honor the Holy Spirit or you shall break down. So right. So true. Listen, so for you and me today. In fact, that phrase sets up the entire message that we're about to go through right now. And here is our sermon title for this weekend. It's this, the Holy Spirit and sanctification. The Holy Spirit in the process of growing more and more like Jesus Christ to discover the role of God's Spirit as we seek to be conformed into the image of Christ, to look more and more like him each day. And some of us are not sure what sanctification means. Sanctification is a wonderful theological term that essentially means to make holy. As we are sanctified, as the process of sanctification falls upon our lives by God's Spirit, and I want to add, by our cooperation as well, we find ourselves looking more and more like Jesus Christ. Sanctification is to become holy, but it is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Please understand this. We can be moralists without the Holy Spirit. We can play religion apart from the Holy Spirit. We can find ourselves just like the Pharisees and trying in our own effort to do what is right. But in the end, we will only see true Christ-like transformation by the Holy Spirit of God. Again, sanctification does involve us. We are a part of that process of transformation, but it cannot happen just by us. It must include 100% the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here's what I know what's in this room right now, because it's this way every week in some measure, in some people, in some way. In this room right now, there's frustration. In this room right now, there's discouragement. In this room right now, there's weakness in abundance. In this room right now, there's failure. There's been some tremendous failure even the past few days. In this room right now, there's doubt. In this room right now, there's a lack of spiritual strength, a lack of true spiritual fruitfulness. And I wonder in some ways and in many ways, how beautiful could it be that so many of us need an older man to come up beside us and to say to us, young man, young woman, not so. Young man, not so young woman, honor thy Holy Spirit or you shall break down. The reason so many professed Christians have broken down is because they have attempted to live the Christian life apart from the one who is their help, comforter, counselor, strength, the one who possesses all strength to allow them to live this life in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we seek to do together right now. And I pray you, like me, have a little more excitement maybe than even when you walked in this room with, because you know how much you need him, or you're starting to understand how much you know you need him. So the Holy Spirit wants to show us how much we need him. What's the number one thing the Holy Spirit uses to show us that? Anyone? The Bible, yes. And the Bible is also called what? The sword of? That phrase has taken so much new meaning for me during this series. Anyone else? Anyone else? The sword, just me. Oh, darn it. The sword of the Spirit. Who's got one? Let's open it. The sword of the Spirit, and let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Listen to this. The sword of the Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, desires to take God's word, which the Holy Spirit inspired, and now wants to illumine our minds and hearts to understand the truth that we might be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't ever let this become routine. We are holding the sword of the Spirit of God. Awesome. Awesome. It's different than the shield of faith. It's different than the breastplate of righteousness. It's the weapon of choice by the Holy Spirit of God, who is, of course, the Spirit of truth. Romans 8, verse 13. This is going to be our home base in terms of the Holy Spirit and sanctification, but we will branch off into other verses, specifically in Romans as well. Romans 8, verse 13. Paul says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But," everybody say "but." That's a good "but" in the Bible right here, all right? And it's a very, very important word as well. But, Paul says, if, notice, make every word count. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will, tell me, live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. I mean, that right there is a word for some here right now. You have been living entirely by the flesh, and the word of God comes to your mind and your heart right now by the Holy Spirit of God, who's the Spirit of truth, and he says to you, if you keep living by the flesh, if you keep living in your sin, that only equals death. It's the hard news of the good news. You'll never win with sin, ever. Sin always, always equals separation from God. It equals death. But here comes the good news in verse 13. But if by the Spirit, and I pray even right now, whoever's here to hear this part, even before the sermon really begins in many ways, how much your life can be transformed by the truth of God, delivered by the Spirit of God, through the word of God into your heart right now as you become a child of God. But if by the Spirit, not by religion, not by morality, not by trying harder, not by good works, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, which of course is sin, here's where life is found. You will live. I just want to pray before we go any further. Holy Spirit of God, would you bring life now? Holy Spirit of God, would you renew our minds right now? Holy Spirit of God, would you teach as only you can teach? Holy Spirit of God, would you take weakness and turn it into strength? Would you take discouragement and bring it into massive encouragement? Would you take death even now and turn it into life? Holy Spirit of God, where there's so much misery, would you create joy? Because you are life and peace. You are joy. You are the one who points us to Jesus Christ. God, I pray this one verse, even now, would be seen in a way that's never been seen before to produce such transformation in the hearts and lives of those gathered here right now. Oh, may it be so. Oh, may it be so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Notice, first of all, from this one verse, think you can get a sermon out of one verse? The answer is yes, because John Owen wrote a whole book on this one verse. Hundreds of pages he wrote on this one verse, which, by the way, I owe a lot to him, the wonderful scholar, theologian, pastor who lived several hundred years ago. I owe a lot to John Owen in this message. Make no apologies for that whatsoever. Leaning on those who have gone before us. We're going to see one sermon from this one verse. We're learning about the Holy Spirit and sanctification. Here's the first thing we see from this verse. Point number one is this, okay? My calling is to kill the flesh. My calling as a believer in Jesus Christ is to kill the flesh. And this is the point of verse 13. It sets up a very sobering statement. Verse 13 begins with, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The point that Paul's repeatedly making here in Romans 8 is this: to live according to the flesh is certain death. But for the person to live and walk in the flesh, if that person's living and walking in the flesh, what this means is, Romans 8 tells us this over and over again, it means they are not walking according to the Spirit of God. And to not have the Spirit of God within you means you don't have life within you. Because true life is only found in the Holy Spirit of God, who produces life through causing us to be born again, that we might be regenerated, become children of God. Only He can create new life within us, causing us to become literally new creations. But Paul throughout Romans is writing to believers. And so in verse 13, when he says, to live according to the flesh, you will die, it might appear that he's suggesting that some could lose their salvation. If I live according to the flesh right now, does that mean I'm going to die? Does that mean I'm going to lose my salvation in Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. We don't believe the Bible teaches that for a second. Let me be crystal clear. You cannot be truly saved and then go backwards and somehow lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security is massive to the Lord Jesus Christ, massive to the New Testament, massive to the whole Bible. It should be massive to us as well. Are you genuinely saved in Jesus Christ? You take wonderful comfort at the Holy Spirit who's within you, as we read today, is our guarantee, the guarantee of what is to come. I am saved in Him. So what's happening here then? What is happening here in the first part of Romans 8, verse 13? We're learning this: the Holy Spirit is everything. He means here that a person who continually lives their life in the pattern of the flesh, that is a very bad sign, because the genuine believer has the genuine Spirit of God, and where the Holy Spirit is, loved ones, listen, where the Holy Spirit is, change will also come. Life will also be found. Fruit must be seen. This is why we say around here a lot, I think it may have been said a couple weeks ago, but I'm okay with believers in Christ having bad days. I'm okay with believers in Christ having bad months, and sometimes it's a real bad season, could be a bad year or whatever. But as we said around here a lot, when it comes down to I've had a bad decade and there's been no fruit in my life for a decade or whatever, that's an indication that something's off. That's an indication that the fruit that must be seen from those who are truly walking in the Spirit of God, that life is found in them. That means we need to check and really, really have a good conversation with ourselves before the Lord to say, who am I? Where am I? How am I? But what Paul does here, he uses this warning to now set up this great command. He says this: but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So, living by the flesh, our sin, equals death. Living by the Spirit equals life. And because all true believers possess the Spirit of God, they also hold within, listen. Because all true believers hold the Spirit of God, what they also hold within them is the power then to defeat the flesh. Again, this is the heart of this verse. Put to death the deeds of the body. Now notice, the body itself is not sinful. It's when the body is used to promote sin. As Paul says, even in Romans chapter 6, my Bible has Romans 6, 7, and 8 open all on the same page. It is packed with theological beauty, glory, and truth. If you look at Romans 6, verse 12, oh, some of you had to turn, huh? That's all right. That's all right. One page. Paul says this, Romans 6, 12. We're learning theology here right now, loved ones, and this is powerful, powerful theology. Romans 6, 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. See, when Paul talks about the deeds of the body, he's talking about our sin, of course. I want to make sure that's totally clear. Verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. See what's happening all through this wonderful call of sanctification for the believer in Jesus Christ, specifically in Romans 6, 7, and 8. The call of a believer, the duty of the believer, the war cry of the believer is the pursuit of sanctification by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So what are we learning right now? Okay, this is really, really important. What are we learning as those who call ourselves Christ followers? We're learning this. It's unacceptable to receive fire insurance and do nothing. Make sense? No? It's unacceptable to just say, I accept Jesus Christ. I'm saved from hell. Now I sit here and live my life any way I want to. That's not the true believer in Jesus Christ. You can't just take the fire insurance and then go live like the devil. That's not real life change. That's not real salvation. It's unacceptable to receive salvation and sit still. It's unacceptable, better yet this, it's impossible for the genuine believer not to take heed to the command to, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Loved ones, we're learning this. In Romans 8, verse 13, we are called to kill the flesh. This is our call. This is our obligation. This is the battle we must prepare for and we must fight. Let me just unpack some basic but beautiful theology on the screen for you here. Now, I love teaching you theology. It's not massively complicated, but the reason I love teaching you theology is because when you understand these things, your mind is renewed, your worship is stirred, you can take God's word, you understand what it's saying to a greater degree, how the Lord uses this to grow us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God adores this because it points us more to Jesus Christ all the time. So I really hope you're starting to appreciate as much as I am this. And what is this? Here's what we're learning. If I'm regenerated by the Holy Spirit, John 3, 2 weeks ago, that guarantees you don't get regenerated and then take a spiritual time out for 60 years and then die. Impossible. Impossible. Theologically, what must happen? When I'm regenerated by the Holy Spirit, conversion must follow. At some point, as I'm made a new creation, I turn from my sin and repentance, and I receive by faith the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of my sins, and I live for Him as Lord as He becomes my Savior. Conversion, faith and repentance. Where there's regeneration, there has to be conversion. Where there's conversion, there has to be justification. Justification, these things happen instantaneously. They happen, we don't fully understand how these all happen chronologically, but we know how they happen logically. Justification is when God the judge sees Christ in me now instead of my sin. He sees the righteousness. He slams down the gavel and says, innocent. You are innocent. Before Christ, guilty. With Christ, innocent. You are free. You will live forever. The penalty of sin is now removed. Where there's regeneration, conversion must follow. Justification must happen. Now, here's the thing. When you are justified, there is no choice, no option, theologically speaking, biblically, all over the place. When justification occurs, sanctification also must follow. There has to be the process. There's so many people sitting in this nation in church, and they believe they're justified by whatever reason they have, but there's no sanctification. That's theologically impossible for someone who's truly regenerated. When the Holy Spirit begins His work, it's carrying on. If we continued this process, glorification would be under that. And glorification, who's excited for glorification? Amen. You know what it is. That's awesome. Glorification is the day when we are made perfect and the very presence of sin is gone once and for all. And there we are with Jesus Christ face to face, and no more sin and no more sadness and no more evil and no more wickedness in our hearts and no more. If I keep going, I'll get too excited. So we'll stop right there, all right? But listen, listen. The whole point is this. Philippians 1 verse 6. I am sure of this, Paul says, that He who began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. That's a great spot for an amen, okay? This is what we're learning, right? If I'm alive in Jesus Christ, the process of change must, no. For all of us, the process of change is some are fired up and growing like crazy. Some are struggling a little bit, and that's okay. We're all different. We're all in different places, but at the end of the day, There must be an indication that the fruit of God's Spirit is being seen in me because I am being transformed little by little and yet with beautiful, glorious strides by the Spirit of God that was in me. My life is looking different each day. Now, let's make sure we understand the battle that we are in. Let's make sure we understand our opponent. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 2 says. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, notice, to abstain from the passions of the flesh. There's another way of really saying what's happening in Romans 8 verse 13. Notice, which wage war against your soul. Now that's a big deal. We're learning here, loved ones, when we're going in this life, the Christian life, it's not a game. What is it? What is it? It's a war. We are at war with the passions of our flesh. The passions of our flesh seek to kill us, seek to destroy us, seek to ruin us, seek to discourage us, decimate us. One of the first steps in understanding what's really happening is we got to wake up together and realize, man, the battle's on. And we're at war against our flesh. Some might be asking right now, well, what is the flesh exactly? What is the body exactly? Simply put, it's our sinful nature. It's the corruption within us. It's our depravity that hates everything good. But some might be asking right now, well, the sinful flesh, but wasn't that flesh dealt with at our conversion or salvation or regeneration? I mean, wasn't that flesh dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ when we were justified before him? That is a very great question. Let's learn together. At the moment we are born again, and justification occurs in our lives, conversion, justification, the penalty of sin is forever gone. But listen. But at that point, the battle over the power of sin begins. The penalty of sin is forever erased when we are justified. But at that moment then, the battle over the power of sin begins in our lives. It's just so amazing. Like, I talk to people and I myself, life before Christ in some ways seems so easy. Anyone agree with that? I talk to people all the time, man, before Christ, I kind of went with my life, I was doing this and that, never really thought about much going on. All of a sudden, I get saved in Jesus Christ, I'm totally different, and then all of a sudden, I'm aware of all this stuff going on around me and the realities of the evil of my heart and the temptation to sin, and it's like, man, I had no clue. What is that? It's this. It's you are a new creation that has now become aware of the spiritual reality of life, and you are at war with the passions of your flesh, seeking to win that for the glory of God. So again, let me just retrace that a little bit to get more people with us right now. Although our legal standing before God is declared innocent, justification, we still have a sinful nature that fights against us.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.